Good morning to all available listeners. This is the One Gone Words of Wisdom show. My name is Marvell. I'm the co-host, and I'm pleased to have your audience this morning. We're opening the lines or opening our minds to any discussion that might be relative to what's going on around you, your community, our culture, our race, our nation, and the world. So if you don't mind, let's get started. One of the things that we discuss often, especially with blacks in this country, is our easy availability to the emotion of anger. It seems that anger is that energy that can be triggered at the drop of a hat. However, if we look a little closer, we see that anger often stops thinking and starts actions that are premature and a lot of times cause us harm or cause others harm. So it might be a good idea for us to talk about and to learn how to develop some anger management skills and learn how to recognize how powerful anger could be and how a decision during anger can cost so much.
So, Brother Marvell, peace and blessings to you this morning. I'll be going to the Jacobs funeral at 11 o'clock. I'm getting ready, cutting hair and everything. But I wanted to say to the world, good morning to you. It is a beautiful thought about talking about anger, because last night we talked to a group of young people about anger issues. And I told them, you don't have anger issues, you just get mad. And everybody gets mad and angry. But when it becomes the issue is when you act out of being mad, act out of being angry. That becomes the issue when you start doing the stupid doodle dumb, or you want to talk to people any kind of way because you upset, and that becomes a problem. That is an issue. You're just not born with anger issues. Everybody gets mad, right? Everybody gets mad.
I say. Grand rising, brother.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, Marvell? As I said yesterday, anger is something that everyone has. It's something embedded in us. It's an emotion. It's an attitude. It's a personality for some people. It's something we have to work out on our own. We have to dig and find that root problem, the root cause of that anger. Because a lot of times we're not even angry at that person. It's something that's in us, and he just triggered it. Because most of your anger is about you. It's something in you that you dislike, and you just hate because that person bought it out of you. So we really have to do a self-assessment and self-adjustment. And you'll find out that a lot of these problems can be alleviated real quickly and easily. You may need help, need to go see a psychiatrist, or just talk to someone that'll listen. Because that's a lot of times, that's all a person needs to do, just talk, get it out. Once they get it out, they'll feel much better. And then they'll begin to see that it really wasn't no problem at all. But anyway, man, it's good to be on with you brothers this morning. I'm glad Tim's going to be here for a little while. But we hope the listeners will call in and share their experiences.
Well, yes, Mark, I'm glad to have you along today, too. That your theory is a sound theory, and I'd like to add that, to me, it's clear, we being such an energetic people, that surge of energy, anger is or creates a surge of energy, and it is triggered and predictable when triggered by those who might want to keep us sleeping in control, right? It's a most necessary effort to learn how to control anger because anger is that one thing that can be manipulated. Control is soon to follow. If someone can work you into a situation where you're not thinking clearly, then they can insert and pretty much manipulate the situation to their benefit. So our anger as a people seems to be something that works against us. And that energy that we have or that is generated is sort of like something we're attracted to. We're attracted to being energetic and exerting our energy. It's just that anger is one of those energies that once reaches its peak, and at the end of it is usually a consequence. Somebody gets hurt, or you hurt yourself. So I think it's really a deep dive was necessary for us to not only acknowledge anger
right there,
that we have it. Say again.
You touched on something right there, if I may interject. When you said that anger, the anger that you're discussing, what I want to add is that we all have there's a warrior inside of us. Let me put it this way. There's a warrior inside of us that has not been able to be released correctly. See, we're angry at a certain entity that has kept us down for so long, and it's embedded in us. It's in our DNA. And we don't know how to release it, because if we release it against who we're really angry at, they're going to lock us up or kill us. So we take it out on those closest to us. We take it out on our loved ones. We take it out on a neighbor or anybody that we dislike at that moment for what they're wearing or whatever it is. But we take that anger out on them because, like I said, we're warriors. And our people, our ancestors fought against these oppressors in the beginning. And then they just lost so many, or they lost hope or lost faith or whatever, that they stopped. But that warrior is still in us. It's birthed in us. And most men don't realize it. But that's what causes us to act out. And we act out on these emotions that's embedded in our DNA. And like I say, if we could only cover and fight the powers that be, we will no longer be angry, because we don't have nothing to be angry at. We could have a lot of stuff to be angry about, but if you fight that your opponent correctly, you're no longer angry, because you're releasing that energy the right way. See, our ancestors were warriors. They got out, they did war dances, they celebrated in victory. You know, this is what we're accustomed to. But no, now we're living in this man, in this society, in this world that we're really not a part of. We've been thrown into it, subjected to it, conditioned to live this way, that we're just confused. I regret.
So you know what automatically comes to mind when you talk about the deep-seated anger that we experience, and I agree that it's a deep-seated, deep-rooted anger base. We said it the other day, justifiably. Anger is justifiable in regard to our experience here in this country. The thing that came to my mind while you were talking was the gun. The gun. If it weren't for the gun and the power that's lodged behind the gun and its ability to create fear and apprehension and therefore a method of control, if it weren't for that gun, see our ancestors were warriors, and hands down, we would likely win a battle. But when they put that gun in there, or start falling around them, and they couldn't see why, that was a powerful influence over the next decision to go to war. And then with the gun, it's been the maintenance of captivity lodged and revolved around the gun holder. That is why, right now, if you look at the system, when our youth turn 18 or even sometimes before, when they commit a felony, they are not allowed to have a gun. That clause eliminates them from the potential of having a gun. So therefore, they're giving our kids, I ain't going to say kids, giving our young people these felony charges so that they, and it's not just for that, but part of that structure is so that they can know, they could not in the future be able to legally own a gun, because the gun control mechanism, and it's best to be in the hands of the controller. Can anybody agree or disagree?
Well, my take on that is that the gun doesn't solve anything. All it is a quick elimination. And usually
no,
eliminates...
Mark, let me finish. No, listen, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. I wasn't asking about the gun. I was declaring that the gun is the mechanism to maintain the system and the control of the system. That you talk about fear, well, we have, I don't call it a deadly cringing fear, but there is a strong apprehension that probably within us about what would happen if we do what we do and the person with the gun doesn't like it.
Right, I understand that, but what I'm getting at is where you started with the gun. And what I'm saying is this here. That gun was created by somebody with a weak mind. See, a man only resorts to violence when he run out of things to say. See, a man with a large vocabulary can outwit, outthink, outsmart another man with words. But a man with poor understanding, with poor thinking, will resort to violence because he got to shut him up, because he's feeling bad. It's not how everybody else looking at him, it's how he's feeling. But we can't, like I say, they came in with the guns. That's how they defeated us. And those same guns cause us to defeat us. We defeat ourselves now. So is a gun the answer? No. In my book, no. We need to learn how to talk to each other. We need to learn how to love each other, because the problems that we have are very small. They're very minute. It's really not a problem at all. It's just a disagreement, a dislike. But go ahead, my brother.
I'm not disputing what you're saying. All I'm saying is that when we look at situation, and you will agree that in the heart, because I've always felt that in my deep down in my heart, I've always felt like if and when we do stand to our majesty collectively, that another decision is going to have to be made. Like, for instance, back in the 60s, when we were, Mark, you were there, back in, in the 60s, when there was a Black Power movement. Brothers were calling each other brothers, and brothers were calling sisters sisters, and we all had our fists up raised to say we demand our recognition in this country, and we're going to do it collectively. Well, the decision was, they look too strong. What are we going to do? Heroin. Let's try that. And it worked. They sedated a population with heroin. So what I'm saying to you is that once we come to this mindset of collectivism and we start moving forward, it's not only do we have to do it smoothly and diplomatically and inclusively, but we have to be wary that if we don't, that there another decision might be made to quell our movement. And that's one of the fears that always had, and I think that's like men have that in their hearts. They're like, oh man, you know, you talking about this because if the police ride down the street and three dudes standing on the corner, three black dudes standing on the corner, they think that it's something going on because they don't like to see us collected. So it's like, hey, what are you guys up to? And the undercurrent of the message is, it's too many of y'all together. Y'all might be trying to be like-minded about something. So we want to keep y'all not collected and not gathering so that won't happen. So that's the point that I'm making about the fear and then the anger. And then the fear and the anger makes it so that you have to protect yourself. You have to think about protecting yourself and not think about what we're going to do. Just have you thinking about, well, what I'm going to do. And that's where I think we are now, is a lot of people always looking at what they have to do for themselves, because if we collect, then that might create another challenge for us. And that's just how I kind of see it.
So my thing is, like, when you talk about protecting, like I tell a lot of people, well, I'm protecting my family. Yeah, but if you do, as Tim said, the stupid doo-doo-dumb, you trying to protect your family. Now you taking yourself away from your family because you could get killed or you can get locked up. Who's going to be there to protect your family? That's why it's important for us to think. We got the T-H-I-N-K, think. Is it really worth it? See, they have already devised weapons against us. We use those same weapons against us. All we got to do is think. And like I say, the best way to defeat a situation is remove yourself from that situation. We have to grow collectively. We have to separate ourselves and grow. That's how you grow. If you got a plant and the weeds are growing around that plant, you move that plant to a safer place where the weeds can't get to it, or you eliminate those weeds in order for that plant to grow. And we're no different from that plant. We have the common sense to remove ourselves, just like we moved ourselves from the past situations that we were in and put ourselves in a better situation so we no longer have to face those trials that we were going through once before that we bought on ourselves. So that's why I'm saying it's important that we grow collectively. See, everything I talk about revolve comes right back full circle to the same thing I talked about before, unity. And that's unity with everyone. We're all on this earth together. We have to learn to live together. But we cannot live together if we got another man telling us how to live, separating us with different devices, different gadgets, different stuff. See, we get caught up by distractions. See, so we got to take action against the distraction. Take action against the distraction. Now you don't control the faction. Those that have control, they no longer have control because you no longer want what they got. As long as you want what they got you. It's all a mindset, my brother.
Hey, so I appreciate you. I appreciate you, Mark. We got a couple more callers on. I want to get them to identify themselves. I got Larry on here. Larry, go ahead on and identify yourself. Then I have another person on here from the 510. Go ahead on and identify yourself.
Yeah, I'm Larry, and I just appreciate it. First of all, Mr. Tim, when you go, I'd like to give my condolences to the Jacobs family. So you can pass that on for me. And like like us brothers was talking about, anger is in all of us. But then sometimes, you know, people love somebody, but then they still have anger towards them. And that's one of the things that you can't figure out. How can we all not have anger? And Mark, what they always say about, I have no weapons shall be formed against me. That's the way I look at it, and I believe in that. Go ahead, my brother.
I say. Hello, Elaine. You going to speak today? Just say
hi. Yeah, I'm Elaine. I'm from the Bay Area, Vallejo, V-Town, and I'm just listening today, but it's a very important subject because anger is much of what's holding our race down, our community down, especially for the youth and even the older folks. So I think it's a very important topic. So I'm going to enjoy listening today, but thank you, brothers.
All right.
Oh, thank you, Elaine. Okay. No, who is it? Tim? Go ahead, man.
No, that's you, Marvell. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So Larry said that we all have it in us, and sometimes we vent our anger on people that we care about. What that tells me is that anger, once triggered, doesn't have a particular target, right? It might be, as we've been observing, that anger, once unleashed in our neighborhood, it causes one of us to kill another one of us out of some form of anger. So to me, to look at anger as being anything other than a triggerable, uncontrollable energy, I think we're missing the mark. So it's kind of important to realize that because we have it within us, and we might have it 2, 3, 10-fold within us as a people because of the many challenges we've had to endure and the many regrets we've had and the many misgivings we've had and the many mistreatings we've had, we have a right to have that anger. But my point is that understanding that it's there and acknowledging that it has that potential power to cause devastation to ourselves and to someone else makes it more important for us to look at it as an energy and not just look at it as something that happens when somebody triggers it.
Correct. I agree with you. You have to understand. Go ahead. Go on and finish.
I'm
going to land your plan.
I'm going to be emphatic about that factor, is that we have something in us that if we're not cognizant or aware of it, anytime it starts rearing its head, if we don't do something to manage it, then anything can happen. And that's not a good place for us to be.
Right. And you know, like I say, there are different levels to this. Before you get angry, you get upset. You feel it. You get upset. That's where you start to curb it. You have a choice whether to act out on it or to reflect on it and think about it and say it's not worth it. See, that's what most people don't do. They don't think. They don't think. If you think about it, you won't have time to act on it. And like I say, progress is a mess. You take like these cars, these cell phones. A person could call you up and say, man, bloopy, bloop, bloop, bloop this. Oh, man, I'm finna go kill this nigga. I'm going to jump in my car. You jump in your car and be there in a matter of seconds before you have time to think. Versus walking, before you get halfway, oh, it ain't even worth it, man. You turn around and go back. See, so these are the things we have to think about. Progress is a mess. Like I say, you have to think about how fast we grow, how our minds grow. Our minds grow faster than we even know because of the things that we see, the things we hear. All these things affect us. You could be watching the news and get angry about something. You could be sitting in your house and get angry. I used to, my son was 16 years old, went and woke him up for school. Woke him up, hi, son, how you doing? He fine, I'm doing good, daddy. A few seconds later, I go through the house. He's got these headphones on, a frown on his face. I said, what's wrong with you, son? I don't know. You're listening to this music. This mess takes effect on us in ways we don't understand. So we have to be mindful of what we feed ourselves, what we listen to, what we watch, who we're talking to, who we're associating ourselves with. A lot of these kids out here are not angry at what they and do something. They're doing something to appease somebody else. This person don't like them, so I don't like them. You know, these are the things we got to do. We got to think. What's more important? Is your growth, your well-being more important than how this joke over here feel about somebody? And that's what's wrong with our children. They're not thinking. They just follow. They piggybacking off of somebody else. They're following the leader. And that leader is dumb as a box of rocks. Because like I tell him, if you didn't follow him, he wouldn't have nobody to lead. And he's not going to do nothing by himself. He's the loneliest man in the world. The leader is the loneliest man in the world. Because everybody's behind him. Ain't nobody standing there with him. So, I mean, you just got to think. Uh-huh. That's all it takes is think.
I agree with you. We're going to take a station identification. We're going to take a pause for the calls, y'all.
Attention SAC artists, R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy, spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone@yahoo.com to be heard in over 50 states. Also, call the show at 347-205-9722. And don't forget to tell your friends to log on to blogtalkradio.com. And look for the Wise Words with 1Gone show every Monday through Saturday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And don't forget to check the Sunday Gospel show from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Tell everybody about the Wise Words with 1Gone show.
Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Sloan Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Sloan Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
Yes, tonight, y'all, we are in full effect with our brothers. I am DJ 1Gone. This is Wise Words with 1Gone Show with my co-host, Mr. Marvell Wilson, and our brothers from around the way. I want to say this, and I want to be clear with this. A lot of anger and a lot of this displaced energy comes from, one, not loving themselves. And so what that does is bring animosity, it brings hate, strife, envy. And so if one don't get in tune with oneself, we will always be angry, mad, in a hater's position, hating on a man because he's doing what he's supposed to do for himself and his family. I pity the fool. I pity the fool, and I ain't Mr. T. I'm going to open up the phone lines back. A co-host is going to run this thing. I'm getting ready to get out of here. And Mr. Larry, yeah, I will tell the Jacobs family from all of us, our condolences is with them, and may God continue to walk with them as they go through the grieving process that they're going through. Mr. Marvell?
Yes, sir. I echo that same sentiment. I appreciate if you would share that with the Jacobs family as well. We know you have a good, strong, long-standing relationship with them, and anybody that's cool with you got to be cool with us. So make sure that you let it be known that we at the Healing Circle have that sentiment, and we share it with you as you walk into that setting. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
So, Mark, let me
say one thing. Brother Marvell. So when we say we got listeners and we're waiting on listeners to call in, we have to also let it be known that this show is on every day. You guys are running this thing every day. Now, I might not be here every day because I'm a man of many, many jobs, right? And so that's why I didn't keep this thing going for this year. This year was the first year out of 11 years that I hadn't been on here either once a day or twice a day, because I've become very busy in trying to keep things in order, not just in my household, but in the areas that I attend and put work in. And so it is on us to build this listening audience. It's on us to get a number out. It's on us to go on. Mark, I've seen you on Facebook. You had a whole paragraph on how they can get on, when you come on. And I just want to say I appreciate that, because that's how this is going to grow. It's not going to grow by me putting everything out, because they know I've done that. It's on us as a team to build this listening audience, not just in California.
This is a worldwide station. You all are doing a very good job with all your topics. I'm waiting on my people from Singapore. I asked a whole bunch of people that normally calls in when they see the light, and so I'm praying that God touches us with more listeners so this word that is being presented to the world is also a station for everybody to come on and give their opinion, suggestions, give us some ways that we can, you know, better approach the things that we're dealing with worldwide. With that being said, I'm going to continue to get ready for this funeral, and I'll talk to y'all on the other side.
And I have to agree with what Brother Tim just said. We want the listeners to call in. If you have a situation you want to talk about, discuss, feel free to discuss it. We have opening ears here. We're here to listen, and we're here to give some feedback if we're allowed to. And because I'm sure you all have concerns that you want to talk about. So feel free to call in and put it on our hearts and let us help you weigh it all out. With that being said, back to you, Marvell.
Yeah. So the anger topic is a broad topic for us. I said it before. You've said it. We've all agreed that anger force, the energy lies within it, a major concern for us. So now we're at this point, as I said the other day, they had an anger management class with the young people, and one of the exercises was the breathing. He say 4-7-3, you say 10-3-3. Whatever breathing exercise might be workable for an individual, that's the one you try. But stopping to inhale and exhale the tension is the goal. And so you said when we get upset and we feel it coming, that might be the time to begin. You know, when the upset occurs, knowing how the energy will build if we don't do something about it, urges one to take these actions and do these exercises. And that's the emphasis that I'm placing on our ability to, as you said, Mark, to do our best thinking. I know I don't do my best thinking when I'm angry. I don't know about nobody else. Matter of fact, I done tried to kill people when I was angry. Matter of fact, by the time I did what I did, I thought they would be dead out of my anger. So it's a really heartfelt, deep issue for me to keep emphasizing how important it is for us to recognize that anger is one of those things that allows us to be controlled. It allows us to be minimized because we don't have that self-control and that management mechanism so that we won't be predictable and therefore manipulable through our own anger. Plus, we're killing each other out of that same energy. So that's my emphasis, is that we look at it for what it clearly appears to be is a devastating force that exists within us that if we don't manage and control it and learn how to live with it, we die.
Can I say something? Oh.
Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
This is Elaine. Anyway, I was going to say, I think Mark touched on it too. You got to understand anger comes from a rooted issue, and it's usually a lot of times it's from childhood wounds. It could be wounds from a relationship. It could be wounds just from life experiences. But you have to find a solution. And if you don't, the first is to talk about someone acknowledging it. And if you don't acknowledge, you can't address it. And then I just think that that's the first, and then you try to heal from it. And that's what I, you know, that they're doing in the healing circle. That's a lot. I think that's why some people can communicate so well in that group, because they talk about their issues and they grow. And if you don't grow, you're not you know, healing. You know, you have to grow. So I just think you have to talk about it and get to ask people, you know, try to find out what is the root issue. And a lot of times it is from childhood. And sometimes, like I say, it's from just experiences. But that's all I wanted to say.
I see. I agree.
Thank you very much.
And that's basically, really, that's it. And really, that is the key to a lot of problems we have. Talk about it. Once we begin to talk about it, you'll find out that your problem is not as big as you thought it was, because somebody else's problem is much, much bigger than that. And they're living, they're going through it. And the best thing to do is try to smile. Whenever you're upset about something, angry about something, disgruntled with you, it's your understanding that affects you. It's your understanding. So, and a lot of us have poor understanding because we're taught to understand situations a certain way. We're taught to handle situations a certain way. So if they knew better, they would do better. Well, let me finish talking first, my brother. I'm giving you one now. You're interrupting
me. Give me an example. Give me an example.
If we knew, let me finish talking, then I'll give you an example. If we knew better, we would do better.
Okay, I'd like to hear that.
And Marvell, mute yourself. Stop. Okay, now. A prime example.
Are you angry?
Marvell.
You getting upset?
I'm going to jump in my car and be over there in a minute now. Marvell, mute yourself.
Yeah.
One mic. But thinking is a major process in life. It's something we all have to do. We have to count up the cost. And like I said, is it worth it? Is it worth me acting out on this anger? What do I stand to lose if I act out on it? Versus me stopping, take time, breathe, think, and just readjust some things within me. Just do a self-check and see how far I came with anger and how far I can go without anger. And like I said, once you begin to relax, think of a happy place. I go fishing. Whatever, if I have any kind of problem, a financial problem, or I get upset about someone of my kids or something, a grandkids, I go fishing. I get out there to nature where there's nothing but me and God. I can look around and see all the things that God created, all the things that I'm appreciative of, versus being around all this mess, all this confusion. See, when a person is around confusion, that feeds your anger. So you have to get to stuff, places that's going to feed your peace. Let your peace be overwhelming with you. Let your peace override everything else, because with that peace comes joy. So when you get out there around nature and stuff, you get to see peace. You get to see joy. Because like I say, man could give you happiness. That's only temporary. But God gives you joy, everlasting. And that's going to override everything. Anger will not have a chance to even come up. You'll get upset, but you won't get angry, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So you got to grasp hold of something, whether it's Buddha, whoever you deem to be your creator or your maker that's higher than you, whatever you worship. That's where you find your joy at. And you got to hold on to that joy. And you can't let it go. That's the solution to everything. If you know you didn't create yourself, hold on to what created you. If you think that you is Mr. It, hold on to Mr. It. And don't allow nothing to pull you down from your pedestal. If you put yourself on a pedestal, don't let them little minions knock you down, because that proves that you're not as big as you think you are, because they could touch you. See, so that's the thing right there. If something so little can touch you and cause you to do something that can take you out of the position that you're in, you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? Am I as strong as I think I am? This man said a couple of words to me and got me all upset to knock me out of position. Now, you know, life is a game of chess, and we have to recognize what piece we are. The queen moves so many directions. The king could only move one space, and he's the biggest one on the board, but he only moved one space at a time. Pawns only move one space, sometimes two when they first move. But you have to recognize what piece you are in this world and how you move, and you move accordingly. You, if you're a king, you can't move like a queen. So stay in your place. You know, play your role in this movie, because that's all it is, a big movie. And but everybody wants that leading role. Everybody wants to be recognized by everybody. It's not good to always be out front, because when you're out front, you think everybody liking you, but they're poking fun at you because they see you the most. It's when you begin to see you that you can change you. So start with that man in the mirror. Just get in there, look in the mirror, and say to yourself, who am I? What can I be? How can I make a difference? Don't look in that mirror and say, oh, I'm the baddest thing out here. I'm the handsomest man in the world, because you're not. You're just you. So be the best you you could be. You'll be great. But when you try to be something else, you're going to get something else. I digress.
Yeah, well, I see what happens if I don't interrupt. Okay, so you I'm glad you got the specifics of methods to use, because most of it sounds in general. You know, it's like, well, you just got to do this. You just got to do that. And my question behind what you got to do is, okay, how? So yesterday we talked about this, and you said meditation, right? We talked about breathing. Mm-hmm. We talked about meditation. We talk about, you know, whatever that gets you to stop, steal yourself, and do your best thinking. These are the formulas to address this issue of anger from my perspective, and I hope that we can agree that if they're not the right methods, we do well to find a method to address those issues. Now, yesterday we had a group of kids in there, and we talked about we talked about the anger issue, but we also talked about things of that create envy, and that envy and anger is something that is marketable. We have people who are getting paid a lot of money for perpetuating anger and resentment and envy. So these are areas that exist that help continue the potential for us to think angrily, to respond angrily, and to embrace anger. Now we're getting to the point where I could look on the YouTube and see two young people fighting. They got them in a cage. People standing around them watching them fight, bare knuckle. Fighting, right? So that just tells me that anger has been marketed now as socially acceptable. Just for us, though. I don't see two white dudes fighting. I see two black people fight, right? So once again, I'm gonna revisit the importance of everything that you were saying, everything that Elaine said. That there's a tendency for us, because I'm talking about us. There's a tendency for us to invite anger and then get caught up in the momentum of anger and then try to clean up the blood after anger has done its thing. And that's my major concern, is are we going to really, really do the acknowledgement necessary and learn how to get with like minds or like spirits who have the same concern as we do with our healing circle, and address these issues. Address them. It's not I don't think if one person had the ability to do it and had the knowledge to do it, there's a good likelihood that they will be able to handle it. However, it's looking clearly like we need to keep doing what we're doing now, talking about it, and then forming some sort of structure and some sort of blueprint for how to respond to it, not react to it when it occurs. Anger. Elaine. You still there?
Yes, I'm still here. I'm still here.
Okay, because, you know, see, another thing is I would like to hear the woman's perspective about anger with some details. Like I asked Mark to give me an example, you know, and he said he would. I don't know if he did, but I would like for the female perspective on not just how anger occurs, but how does it impact you? Because men have acted out on anger with women to the point to where they are beaten and brutalized out of a man's anger. I say this as well. We allowed ourselves to be put in a position to be disallowed to reprimand our children with the way we were reprimanded because it appears as though parents weren't doing it to teach the children. It appears as though the parents were doing it, venting their anger on the children. We are disallowed to use that method of corporal punishment without legality now. They can call the police. They can call child services if we reprimand them physically because it looked as though we were acting out on our anger and taking it out on the kids. So I'd like to know, you know, if you don't mind sharing a perspective from a female's viewpoint on what this anger situation has done. If you can now share an example, I'd appreciate it.
Well, I can just think of one example. I think that some men feel that, like, they'll say, like, a man's not supposed to cry and that. So society's put certain norms, they call norms, on, you know, people that they have to act a certain way in order to be a man or be this or that. But I think even with women that discipline children, I just think that you have to really, if I could change anything, I'll put it this way about raising my son. It probably would be not spanking if you don't have to, because I don't necessarily condone violence, but I'm not saying it's terrible to, you know, do a little. It's a difference between abusing and big popping somebody's hand a little bit. But if you could do consistent, if people were consistent with their discipline, they probably wouldn't have to spank as much. That's what I'm noticing. Then I don't think it's necessary. Is what we're taught that we're going by the fact that a man can't show their feelings, or to be a man, you're supposed to, you know, treat a boy different from a young lady, you know, as far as discipline, and I don't necessarily agree with that. I think the part of it is just from society and what we're taught, and I don't necessarily go along with that at all, but that's just, I think, why some men feel they have to be rougher with a boy, and I still think talking is always the best. I think communicating, because if you really think about a lot of problems we've had, and I've heard it on this morning show too, is talking about issues. You talk about things, and then you don't have to resort. You shouldn't have to resort. I should say you should never really have to resort to violence and all this supposedly punishment. But you'd be surprised with just talking and trying to understand people. Just like I remember the program we had the other day where the lady was talking about just talking to the young youth and just making them feel that they're not invisible, just having a conversation. You're surprised. My relationship with my son had gotten so bad, I had to tell him to write down some of the problems, the reason why you think our communication is so bad. And the first thing he wrote down was, I realize my opinions don't matter and you're telling me to shut up. And I said, wow. I really didn't mean to tell him to shut up, but I didn't say what I meant. I meant to tell him, don't talk to me in that tone and how it made me feel, you know, and that's not what I came across to him. So I just think communication is really the key with a lot of issues, and men have to realize that, and that's why I really think there should be more healing circles type groups throughout the United States and black communities, because that's really the key, is just understanding, trying to understand. You don't have to agree with someone just to try to understand and be aware of what someone, how someone feels, but it makes them feel, you know, like they're worth something, and we're all worth something. Like I think it was Maya Angelou that said, everybody's a rainbow in somebody's life. So I just think that's important, just communicating and learning how to communicate better. That's our problem. We don't know how to communicate as a race. I think a lot of us, not everybody, but that's an issue. But I don't know if I answered the question, probably not.
No. Don't second guess yourself. You did an excellent job. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Mark.
Brother Marvell, let me see if I can add something to it. Can you hear me?
Oh, is that you, Joe? I thought that was Mark. It was Joe.
Yes.
All right. Introduce yourself, Joe.
Joe, and I'm part of the Healing Circle also consistently. But let me see if I can add something to what the topic is. Yesterday, I mentioned before we went off the air about relationship. And Brother Sister Elaine just got you saying that one of the key factors is communication. Community. Communication is difficult. And we all know that. Attempts are being made now to make strides toward communication. But we have a long history of not being able to talk to each other. When it comes to relationships in our community and the word anger, when I see a woman of color does anger enter my mind? When she sees me as a man, does anger enter her mind? The question then becomes, who are we angry at? Are we angry at ourselves? Or are we angry at circumstances which we are in? Particular dichotomy has never been approached. And if we can get past by communicating, then our relationships with each other will be a lot better than what they are at this moment. I appreciate the opportunity to express that without communication, as Sister Elaine just got through saying, and Brother Mark has said, you have said, Brother Marvell, that we will continuously have this problem of not being able to see each other with clear eyesight because anger gets in the way. Anger is at the base of the black culture in this country. It's at the base, and that's one of the main reasons why I feel that our relationship, interpersonal relationships, are so strained because we're angry, and our attention, as you said a moment ago, is turned toward each other instead of the catalyst for that anger.
Yeah, it's a low-hanging fruit. You know,
the
community
true.
Members and people around you. See, it goes, you know, because I subscribe to a lot of things that are being put to the table and to the floor by Mark and by other contributors to the fact that we're not really self-assured. You know, when self-assurance is practiced,
true.
Then some of the other stuff just rolls up off you like a wad off a duck's back, you know. But when you're not self-assured, the insensitivities and the insecurity triggerability for anger and resentment and bitterness and all those emotions that they're not predictable. Well, they're predictable to a degree. I know that you're not going to be thinking. If I see that you're angry, because I watched Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali had his opponent beat before he got in the ring because Muhammad Ali done angered him to the point where this man going to come in here and he coming in, I'm going to knock his head off. And Muhammad Ali was a good defensive fighter. He slipped punches well. So you come barreling there wild and crazy, he's controlling that because he's using your anger against you. Because now you're not thinking. So that's the one predictability about anger, is that your best thinking falls to the by the wayside. And that's what I want to keep emphasizing, is that we have ability to not only think but create things that have never been seen by anyone and never demonstrated by anyone but us. You just look around. When we're doing our best thinking and focusing our energy toward our best attributes and our skills and our artistic abilities, what we create is not comparable to anything anybody has done. And so that comes from doing our best thinking first. So that's what we talk with the youth about. What is it going to take for you to look at your circumstance and do your best thinking? So that Tim always says, so you can be the best you that you can be. Well, it starts with doing your best thinking. And anger is a deterrent from one's best thinking. At least that's what I've observed. I don't know if anybody disagrees.
No one disagrees.
Oh, go ahead.
No one disagrees, either those of us that are talking or listening, that anger is destructive. It's being able to divert that anger by being more conscious of self, which is what Brother Mark said moments ago, that when a person is in tune with themselves, the aspects of destructive are then weighed, looked into, and then either kept or discarded. Because they're not productive. I think that productivity in itself is a deterrent. However, the problem that our community has is that we can't get past the anger. The anger, that, which is what Sister Elaine said, which is deep-seated. It is deep-seated. It forces us to look for an outlet. And nine times out of five, that outlet is us, angry with ourselves to the point that we can't move forward. Disposing something on the table. I want to move forward. Therefore, I look within myself for some solution. Before I even go on the streets, I'm in tune with myself to the point to where, and I've learned this over the years, that once I become questionable to my actions, of right and wrong, then I can start making the right steps.
Ashe, I'd like to say something where we were talking about the children and violence towards women. See, a lot of this stuff comes about, like I say, everything starts with comprehension. We got to comprehend some things. We have to think. Most men and women get together out of lust. It's not that they desire her mind or they have certain qualities alike. They get together at a party or something and they meet each other. They have a one-night stand and boop, a baby's born. So they talk that they should marry. They get married, but they don't like each other. All that comes out in that child. Whatever two people got going on in their lives when that baby is being conceived comes out in that child. So the child don't know what's going on. The parents don't know what's going on, but it's in him. So there is a deep-bedded anger. This man, and I wish I never married you. The woman, I wish I never married you. So there's no love there. So all they got is bitterness. And bitterness is the deep root of anger. It comes from bitterness. So there are a lot of things that we have to take into consideration in our daily walks in this life. So we have to be very careful and be very astute to what we're doing out here, because it's too easy to mess up somebody's life by just trying to have fun, because you'd have messed up your life, that woman's life, and this child's life most of all. I digress.
Yes, these are, I mean, when we examine it, we'll find that there are a whole bunch of things that contribute to the issue of anger in our personal experiences, in our community experiences, in our cultural experiences. So we're doing well to outline the origins of these emotions so that our viewers, our listeners, keep saying viewers, y'all ain't seeing me, but your listeners can associate with the origin of their anger. Because the bottom line, and we keep saying it, the bottom line is to acknowledge that it's there, which is not difficult, and to employ some exercises that manage it so that we don't lose our ability to think clearly if we don't manage it. And that's kind of like the theme that we're driving and the thing that we all concur on is that at all costs, anger management is a personal responsibility for all of us. And if we're not aware of that, if one is able to handle his anger and he sees someone else not able to handle theirs, then maybe we can pour into their situation and help them look at a little closer at what they're demonstrating. A non-thinking emotional reaction. I'm going to tell you something. I was driving to West Sac, and I rolled down this road at the end of X Street, where when you go down there, there's nothing but man-made tents and people living in vans and stuff, inoperable vehicles and stuff. So I'm riding down the street, and I see these two guys. One guy was backing another guy up. He had a stick in his hand, and the other guy. So I stopped my car, and I did my hands like, come on, man, like this, like, and I hit my horn. I said, man, oh, come on, man, you know. And I almost got out the car to intercede, but another guy came out. And I ain't seen one of these in a long time, and he was an older guy. I don't even see how he had a railroad tie. And this thing is like 5 feet long and about, it's about 3-5 by 5 thick. And he had a railroad tie, and he decided he wasn't going to try to hit the guy with that because he couldn't get hoisted up long enough. So he pulled out a knife and started jutting at the guy. And one time he jumped up in the air and tried to kick the guy in the face and had that knife and thrust it. And I'm saying, Lord have mercy. This type of anger. I'm looking at it and I'm saying this type of anger is what we're all potentially capable of if we don't address the issue from the core. Because I could see it in his mouth, in his eyes. He had that look like he wanted to kill. And I've felt that before. Wanting to kill. So again, this anger issue is a very, very pertinent issue, and I think that we cover every event that might help someone look at their potential for anger. I think we're doing a good job. Care what it is that we talk about, if it generates an anger or is rooted in anger, we're doing well to express it so that people can look closer at their circumstance and see if they have it like that, what to do about it. Breathing. That's what you said, Mark. Breathing and meditation. These are exercises. Walking away. But see, now I keep hearing that. But when anger seizes you, thought process diminishes. Don't you see that?
Right. That's the whole thing. You nip it in the bud. You recognize it when it comes up. So that's when you turn away from it. But see, some people don't know how to control themselves. They don't want to, I better yet, they don't want to control themselves. They want to be seen as an angry person. They done built this barrier around them. They don't want no one to penetrate it. No way, no how. So those are the things you have to take into consideration.
But that's our job. That is our job.
No,
that's
our
what
job,
we're doing
our
right
job
now.
Is to love. Our job is to love. And through that love, it'll help them to see things. Because you can't make nobody do nothing. But we can show them love to make them want to change. See, some things
okay,
you just
so why,
have to live.
Why, when I say that's our job, why would you say that no, not job is to love? Well, you're expressing love when you pull your brother up, when you encourage your brother or you stimulate your brother to think. That's an act of love. So it's not either or, it's both.
Well, when you say that's our job, it's a lifestyle. So some things you can't make it seem like work. You live it. When you say job, that's work. But you make it a lifestyle. It's the way you are. It's your life. So we live
it. So you don't think it's work?
We walk it.
You don't think it's work?
To call
you don't
people.
Think it's,
no.
But you're saying you don't think work that it's a task. You
no,
have to
it's a lifestyle. It's
a
something.
Task.
It's something I love to do. It's something I love
but
to
you
do.
Say
I do
you.
This out of love.
Yeah, okay, but you know, you're not the one size fit all, Mark, and you can't speak for everybody. We're just talking. When I say that's our job, I'm saying that that's our responsibility. When we see it, our responsibility is to pour into it with love, care, and concern. That's our job. And that's what we're doing now. We're doing our job, Mark.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
Family
Skate Night.
Healing has won.
And it's all taking place at King's Skate Country in the city of Elk Grove, Thursday, November 30th, 2023.
From 6:30 to 8:30 p.m.
And in light of this special occasion, the key word is free.
Free.
No way. Free. Everyone free. Free entry, free food, great music equals fun for you and the family. King Skate Country, 1404 Franklin Boulevard, Elk Grove, California. We'll see you there.
November 30th, right?
Right.
That's right. We're bringing the families together for Family Skate Night at King's Country Skate. That's 10404 Franklin Boulevard. That is the 30th of this month. From 6:30 to 8:30, bring your family out, enjoy community as we have it on the skate floor. Anyway, my name's DJ One Gone, and sometimes, you know, we can agree to disagree. But when we go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, one thing we're not going to do is we're not going to go back and forth like that. You know, just mute yourself sometime and think to yourself, you know, how would... I want you to listen at this broadcast and just listen now. A listener would listen to this broadcast. And so not trying to check nobody, or I'm just stating the facts, you know. When you cut people off and when you jump in and when you, you know, that ain't professional nowhere around the block. And so just having y'all think about that, because every time I hear it, if I'm on here, I'm going to mute everything and turn on some music to get some order around here. With that being said, I'm going to my co-host, Mr. Marvell. Marvell?
Yes, sir. Hey, so, Tim, you were a little bit garbled when you gave the address to that event. So could you repeat that, please?
Yes. The address is 10404 Franklin Boulevard. That's 10404 Franklin Boulevard. Located in Elk Grove, California. That'll be 6:30 to 8:30 on a Thursday night, November 30th, right here in lovely California.
Right on. Okay, I wanna level my apology to any viewers who interpreted me as being either disrespectful or argumentative. It's just my passion keeps surging up to what, you know, not just what, but why. And then this, the how. And I really have, because my personal experience with this anger issue is it's only the grace of God that I'm still here or that somebody else is. Because for five incidents in my life, I actually wanted to take a life and did what I thought was necessary to do so out of my... So that's why I'm kind of passionate about it. And the solution to it is one of the things that I really, really would like to put to the floor to for us to get at least a beginning of the blueprint and the formula for addressing any anger issues that might escalate to that degree. So my apology to the listening body if I came off as being overly aggressive. It's just my passion about the issue makes it so that I can get, you know, a little bit heavy-handed sometimes. So my apology.
And I apologize myself to you and the listeners.
Okay, now let me take this a different direction for a moment. And that is, can we begin, you asked about how. One of the major problems that I have experienced, you have experienced, many of the listeners have experienced, is, as I said a moment ago, about the interpersonal relationship. And more specifically, black women, black men, a relationship between the two of us. I was put on this earth for a woman. A woman was put on this earth for a man. But when it comes to our community, is there a deep-seated anger that causes us to continuously argue, fight, disagree, and do all the other negative things instead of some of the positive things that we need to do, at least for man and woman. I'm posing a question. Is there a solution to the anger that we all feel, that we all have? As Sister Elaine said earlier, yeah, we do have deep-seated anger. But do we direct it toward the people who make us angry, or do we direct that anger to do anything about anger? And I think it's the latter. We, black men and black women, fight with each other so continuously that we don't even look to each other when there's a specific need. I need a woman in my life. A woman needs a man in her life. Today, we have both men and women saying that we don't need each other, and that's way, 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 way out of line, way out of line, because a man does need a partner, and a woman needs a partner also. So what causes us? Is it that deep-seated anger going all the way back to slavery? Is it that deep-seated anger that causes black men and black women not to be able to effectively communicate with each other?
Well, if I may, it come about, society has put these things in the way of a relationship. They put these things in a way of love. See, a person don't really even get a chance to fall in love, let them fall in love with stuff. They see somebody with something that they want. Or, and like I say, it's all about recognizing who you are and believing in yourself and knowing that stuff don't make you. That stuff don't make that other person. That person with that stuff would have the most bitterest heart. But as a couple, they look over, oh, I want that. I've seen it all in churches. Just about everywhere you go, you see couples. That's one of their biggest problems. Well, my husband don't do this for me. Or the husband, my wife don't do this for me. It's because stuff or what they hear somebody else talking about. See, relationships are no longer between a man and a woman. It's they got these talk shows now they listen to. So they got a whole lot of people feeding them erroneous doctrine, erroneous stuff that they don't need to listen to. When I was coming up, the woman listened to the husband. Now, I mean, it was just a set rule. The woman ran the house. The husband took care of the bills and stuff. But man changed all that. Give the woman a position to get out and earn money so that now she no longer listens to her husband. She got to listen to another man. So another man is feeding her mind stuff. And then they begin to admire that man and look down on their husband because he's not making what that man is making. So it's a lot of things that causes division in a relationship. And that's why it's important that the love that two people have for one another, they don't let nothing come in between that. I mean, the words say, let no man put asunder. Let nobody tear you apart from that person that you love. That's supposed to be your comforter. You get a woman, she's supposed, when you see her, everything's supposed to go out the window. All your problems, everything, and vice versa, because of that love. And like I say, love overpowers everything. But if you put something higher than that love, then that love don't stand a chance. It can't compete with it. So that's what we have to get back to doing is loving one another. I mean, it's a simple process, but we have to be willing to take the steps to do it because we have the ingredients for it. We just refuse to make it, so we leave out some ingredients and we make a mess. But,
I think that's at the base of the problem, what we leave out. Brother Marvell asked how. And while you were talking, Brother Mark, I was thinking, just how can we do this? How can this be done? We have to be willing, men, to put some of the things that we've learned to the side and listen, do more listening. supposedly in this society, we are supposedly the head of the household. As you said a moment ago, that has changed drastically, where men are no longer throughout this country head of household. So we have a woman that is on equal footing, basically. And what does that mean? That means that whatever ideas that a couple could come up with, it's now turned to where the individual is to come up with, quote, those ideas and solutions, instead of the unit of man and woman being able to at least talk to each other and come to a solution. That's one of the biggest problems that the country faces, and in our community, just being able to communicate with each other is a problem. And I think that once we bridge that, we'll have a better opportunity to fraternize with each other and have more fun than we are having now. But being able to communicate, that is the key. That is the main key. With all the distractions that we have in this country, electronic, infomercials, you name it, being able to sit down and rationally talk to each other is one of the best steps there is.
I'm going to tell you I've always sort of been plagued with this overview kind of ability. That is, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, and I get insulted by it. And a lot of people don't, and that puts me kind of like in a lonely place. But an overview, if I were someone who saw someone else who has natural resources that were in abundance, and I wanted to use them, what would I do? If I were diabolical, what would I do? If I were manipulable, what would I do? If I were manipulating, what would I do? And so I think what a result of what we're experiencing is what someone does to use the resources, at the same time telling the resource that what you have is really not worth that much, but only to me. It won't work for you, but it'll work for me because I know what to do with your resource. I know how to blow it up to make it, you know, cascade across the globe so that I can benefit from your resource. But at the same time, I'm always putting stuff in your way for you to not be able to use it yourself, right? So an overview, it's sort of like a scheme. And I'm insulted by the scheme that always creates a division type of mental atmosphere with our people. There's always something coming up. And if it's not creating division, it's a diversion to take your attention away from the truth of the situation and look at something lesser than the truth. So I get insulted by it. A lot of my anger is that I'm insulted that someone can use that type of methodology, use that type of manipulation successfully on an ongoing basis. And it bothers me greatly.
Now, let me add something to that. The song that was played in the intermission, if you listen to the lyrics, you'll notice that the lyrics had a lot to do with what we're talking about. Because there was talk of violence. There was talk of viewing that mind. There was a talk of violence, and there was talk of doing some sort of harm or miscommunication with women in the song that was just played. And I was just sitting here obviously listening like everyone else. And I said to myself, wait a minute. If we're talking about anger, anger is being promoted through the lyrics of the song. And I listened to the entire song like everyone else. And so, as I said, and as Brother Mark has said, it is the technology which feeds more than the actions that Brother you and Brother Tim are taking, because you're only two. And there are many, many others who listen to the radio, watch the videos, and none of them are promoting positive. All of them are promoting what I dislike in our community. So it behooves us, those of us that know, get out and get with the public, get in the public space, get in the public's eye by being visible, by being vocal.
I agree. That's an absolute excellent starting point, the visibility of it all. Because as I said before, I think I mentioned it, is that when people walk by the room, we're in the Obama room on Wednesdays at the Men's Healing Group, and we have an average of anywhere from 17 to up to 30 people.
Hello, are you there? Hello. Marvell?
Well, let's continue on, Brother Mark, until he comes back.
Yeah. You know, like I say, that's one of our major problems, too many distractions. And that's why I say it's important that we get back to basics. It's just that we've been conditioned to live in this society and to be prosperous in this society. We have to accumulate a lot of stuff that this society has to offer us. And a lot of this stuff is detrimental to our minds. It's detrimental to our livelihoods. It's detrimental to our kids, most of all, because they're growing up seeing things that they should not see, using things that they should not use because they missed out on their childhood. And it's the same way with man and woman. They miss out on growing in love because every morning they got to go separate ways. And love is built. Love is something that grows together. See, our ancestors, the man worked around the house. The woman worked in the house. But they were together. But now we're separated by miles, many miles, some of us. So that love doesn't really have a chance to be nurtured the way it should be. So when you meet up, you try to get as much in as you can. Then you're gone again. So those are the things we have to think about. See, it's our conditioning by somebody that doesn't like us. They don't see us thrive. It's meant to tear us apart, to separate us, to kill us, to destroy us mentally, physically, and emotionally. So we have a lot of emotional damage. But the thing about it is all of it is repairable if we give it time and love. It just takes a little more loving, a little more nurturing, and a whole lot of giving. We got to give. We're people that love to give. And once that's been taken from us, we want to charge everybody for something, well, no matter what it is. Oh, well, my love, it's going to cost you something. And it shouldn't be that way. It should not be that way. So we have to, it's important that we get back to basics. We need a community of our own so we can thrive together, so we can love together, where we won't be distracted by these evil forces, if I may say, because that's what they are. They're evil forces. And once they take hold of you, those are the strongholds that the Bible talk about. See, there are many strongholds out there, and they're getting stronger and stronger because they're getting prettier and more accessible, more convenient. So, like I said, we have a lot of work to do. But if love is the base of everything, it's no longer work. It's a big love fest because we love doing it. I love helping others. I love seeing people smile. I love making my lady smile. That's what has to stay in our heart. It has to stay at the forefront. It has to stay at the forefront. No matter what we go through, when we get together, my main concern is making you smile, seeing you happy, because that's what I fell in love with. So that's what we have to keep at the forefront. Why did we fall in love? What drawed us together? Well, let's keep doing that for each other. And that's what will cause that to grow. That's nourishing to it. I digress.
Sister Elaine, can you help me understand from a woman's point of view about anger toward men of color, black men? Can you help me understand also what steps we can take to help that problem?
Sister Elaine has gone offline. Sister Elaine has gone offline. Brother Marvell, you're back. I don't know what happened to you, but you are back.
Yeah. I had to redial and redial the 425 and then enter the code because it just shut off. I don't know. We've been having some challenges. I don't know. Maybe we're hitting some nerves or something. I don't know. Because we've been having some challenges with our airing. However, that hasn't stopped us from driving our issues and giving different perspectives about these concerns. So now we're talking about the unit, and I still in overview, I'm still looking at what would someone who is diabolical and manipulating do to make sure that what's happening now continues to happen. You okay? Is that you, whoever that is?
Yeah, that's me. That's me. One of the first ways.
Okay, well let me finish then. Let me finish then, Joe. Let me finish, Joe. Right. So I'm just thinking like from a controlling perspective, if it's something I want to control, because look, I'm gonna be candid with you. I used to do the same thing with women. I used to figure out how to control them so that they can do my bidding and never feel like they've done enough. Things that I put in motion and kept the subterfuge and kept the diversions and kept the, you know, it was a plot. It was a plot to keep them off balance so that they would always have to come to me for the final decision, trusting that my final decision was going to be best for everybody, but most of the time it was just best for me. So I'm looking at it from overview on a broad scale, and I keep seeing the same thing, and now I'm not ashamed, but I'm just aware of the way I used to be and how it was detrimental to the women that I dealt with, and now I'm seeing the same thing that exists, seemingly to me, exists with the system that's in place to keep us in division and so busy trying to find the P. You know, I've told y'all about the P. Whoever played the shell game or watched the shell game where the guy has three shells and he's rolling around, he got the pee up under the shell, and he'll stop the rotation, and you think the pee is under the first shell, and you bet that it is, and he tucks up the shell, and the pee is not there. Well, the reason why the pee is not there is because it's in his hand. It's in his hand. So if you ever played these games or have seen how they play, there's a simple principle being operated that keeps you mesmerized and keeps you thinking that there's something that you need to attend to here instead of where you started. You started looking at an issue that you want to deal with, but believe me when I say that I think that once we start sharing this information and it starts getting some momentum, that something's going to come up to try to distract us from that momentum, because it's a design. And again, I say I'm just consistently insulted that it continues to work.
It works because of advertisement. If I can entice you to at least think that you can obtain the million-dollar house in the gated community, then I've got you. And we've had years carrying the stick, the carrot in front, and obviously someone else carrying the stick, and we trying to get to the carrot. That is one of the biggest ways to entice an entire population. So we bring that up to today. We bring that same principle up to today. When you look on television today at commercials, I want you to notice something, because I have. I've done it for years. There are very few Asians, very, very few Hispanics, and very few black men. There are tons of black women, Asian women, Hispanic women. So what does that tell the man? And I'm just saying us as human beings. What does that tell us? That tells us that the advertiser or the influencer has moved to a different arena, left us in the same arena, unless we decide to start communicating the way we should to each other. We will never be successful until we do. But we get caught real quick with the advertisement of our time. The advertisement of our time now is that what's being promoted is what the eyes see and the mind takes a picture of and keeps it. And that's what our problem is. Influences, not out for the good of all, but a specific good, which is money. And when we're, like Brother Mark said, you're chasing that bag, everything else goes by the wayside, including relationships, including communication, including some of the personal things that need to be done to straighten oneself out. The best communication method is face-to-face. When we start doing that and doing it consistently, again, consistently, there'll be better success. There'll be better outcomes.
Yeah. See, I see, again, the insult to me is that I observe the same thing you observe, and I also observe a couple of other things. I don't know if you've noticed it, but you can have your television at a decibel, but when a commercial comes on, it goes up two more. It's loud. So it is commanding your something to observe. That is, we get marketed to buy somebody's name, a name brand, but the manufacturer pays the advertising agency hundreds of thousands of dollars to market it, to get it to us, to make it look like something we need to have. And then we turn around, pay top dollar for it, and then we market the product for them, for nothing. So that's the type of thing that it just goes right alongside of what you're saying about how it's important for us to stop and look closely at how things are systematically put forth and see what benefit. We did that last night with the young people. We talked about principle over personality rather than the other way around. We talked about how personality will get someone to consider spending $250 and more for a pair of shoes that's made out of man-made materials and glued together, right? Because of the personality. But when you look at it closely, you'll find that the personality overruled principle. The principle is, if you're going to pay $250 for a pair of shoes, they need to continue to last me. And I need to continue to be able to take them to get the heels, you know, get a new little heel replacement or half sole. But the shoe itself should last me as long as I take care of it. But these glued together shoes not going to last too long. Personality over the principle. So that's what I think is important to, when we look at how marketing works and how we're marketed too. It's important to stop and look at what is the best benefit for me when I make a purchase or when I make an investment. Because sometimes these shoes are investments. You buy the shoe and you resell it to make a dollar, and I don't understand why, but that's what's happening. So I agree with you not only about how advertisement has an impact on our thinking and our buying trends, but how advertisement, it keeps us diverted from having the time and the availability to do what you say, communicate with each other, and to develop relationships on an interpersonal level.
You know, the follow, beautiful. That is beautiful, beautiful response, Brother Marvell. As you were speaking, obviously I was trying to narrow down these next couple of words. Let's take a look again. Let's go back to that song that was played during the intermission. We have a whole generation who would rather listen to that type of music than listen to any of us. Now, how does that change? How can that dichotomy, how can that be turned around? That's not going to be an easy turnaround, because, again, that advertisement of the booty shorts and the twerking and various other things. You even got Chinese girls on the YouTube twerking. And, you know, that culture couldn't even care less, but they're there. So what does that mean? That means that there's very little talking that's being done, because nobody thinks that anybody is willing to listen due to the overriding aspect of technology and the language, the words, and the images that can be put forth. Cause me to go in my pocket and buy those $250 shoes instead of thinking that I could get a $100 pair of shoes and use that other $150 for a better good. But the way advertising has got me thinking just about on every subject that is important to this country. Common sense is what we started talking about. Common sense has gone by the wayside. It is only the seniors, such as us, who have, quote, common sense. The youngsters, including my son, who is 40 years old, nope. And he grew up with me. All my kids, but I'm just saying that with the times have come different thinking and different avenues of mobility. We need to address us and then move forward. Addressing us by getting our thoughts in line, the seniors who have something to say, who are willing to step forward, and then organize and then going to where the problem is. That's the only way to solve it. Because if you continuously sit back, like parents with kids in school, if you continuously sit back and say nothing, nothing will be done. Nothing. Consideration can be given to your thoughts, your wishes, and your wants. But if we sit back, as we have done for years, and do nothing and think that somebody else is going to solve, and we never will climb out of the hole. I believe in being self-sufficient, and that's where things start. Dottie is not self-sufficient. Susie girl is not, baby girl is not self-sufficient. They didn't have that type of training. We did. Let's take it to them so that they can see the value of
it. I say. The young people that we're going into schools with are encouragingly starting to look at things a little differently, and we're hoping to create a model where we can do some guidance and some training about how to get to that point where they're giving their attention, then paying their attention, and then not distracting others from giving attention. Because now they're starting to, what I'm saying, in our methodology, they're starting to scratch their head saying, yeah, Dad, why is that? Or why am I doing that? So if we can see, when we address the young people, if we address them with genuine interest about their perspective, that seems to attract them to want to share. And then once they share, then our knowledge and our wisdom can transplant possibly some of their thought process to a new way of looking and thinking about a matter. And then we can corner them with their behavior by them just looking at it and not, because here's a method that I use a lot, and that is I would ask somebody why they're doing something. And a lot of times they would say, I don't know. So the suggestion thereafter would be, well, if somebody asks you why you're doing something and you're not able to tell them, then maybe it's time for you to reconsider what you're doing. And that's starting to resonate because it's just so very, like you say, Joe, that sort of like takes them back to a common sense way of thinking. It's like, okay, well, if I can't tell you why I'm doing it, I had a kid stand up and say that. He said, you know what? I thought about it. He said, that makes sense. If I can't tell you why I'm doing something, I need to stop doing it. And that's what he said. So this is the type of approach that when we put it out with interest, not with, you know, like that little disdain in the background or that little bit of resentment about a lack of willingness to understand anything other than what we have concluded. Something wrong with you, boy. You got your pants hanging up off your butt. Something got to be wrong with you. And I don't disagree. There's something wrong with the thinking process. However, it might be something that we can use to get them to understand themselves what we already know. It doesn't make sense. It's nonsense. It's nonsense.
Let me add something to you, Brother Marvell. Let me add something at this point, not to interrupt you, sir. One of the methods you asked again, you asked how. One of the methods that we did at Juvenile Probation Department in San Francisco before I walked away was that very, very concept, we tied it to economics. We felt that all the language that was necessary is to get Johnny, who dealt drugs on the streets, to the community and whatnot, to understand the economics of his business. It took a year, a solid year, of getting gang members, soldiers, those who were in the drug business, to teenagers, to understand the gravity of the economics. So what I'm saying is simply that we brought language that was clearly understandable and could be put to good use. From that, that program lasted three and a quarter years at that facility. There are two young men who sold drugs in certain areas, and they started understanding that there's an economic component. I think that if here in Sacramento, if economics are part of the conversation, it will start to ring a little loud, very loud, because everybody is concerned about revenue. Everybody is in need of money. Most of the kids that get involved in, and I'm just saying those who get involved in selling drugs,
because of the message. I think that if the language is tailored, or the program is tailored around economics and ethics, then it has a chance of being successful.
Well, you know, when we talk about the drug the drug trade and the youth in the drug trade, the money I've observed is a very powerful driving force. Yet I've also observed that the celebrity of it has its attraction, and the lifestyle where it appears as though not only do I have money, but I can do what I want to do whenever I want to do it. And when I step into a circle, I'm acknowledged, you know, or robbed, one of the two. So, you know, these are the contentions that we have when we talk to these youth, these young people, about not only the physical, the tangible, which is the money, it's that spirit of acclaim, recognition, and power that accompanies that has an equal, if not sometimes more attraction. Because I know some guys that don't even make no money, but they still out there, because when they show up, people recognize them, and that's sometimes that's good enough for them. That here come dude, there you go right there. You know, and that those elements are something as well that we would probably should be mindful of when we talk about the money issue, then the prestige, and then the celebrity, and then the lifestyle, and the irresponsibility or the lack of need to be responsible for anything. Because that's what I'm noticing with a lot of our young people. They scoff off anything that sounds like work, because it's pretty clear in their mind that either they don't need money because they got somebody already taking care of their creature comforts, or when they need it, they think they know how to get just enough to get what they want at the time, but not, you know, setting something aside is out of the question. If you ask a young person if they got any reserve, they probably want you to define what that means. What is a reserve? You know, I don't get it. A reserve is something you set aside, right? Oh no, I ain't got none of that. So, you know,
I gotta say that even if it's not part of their conversation or thought pattern, then it's time for someone who has the knowledge of, quote, the purpose and real reason for setting aside to enlighten the individual. It's that simple. Again, when you talk economics, regardless of what level of economics, everybody, it's like E.F. Hutton. People want to listen because it's talking about money. It's talking about that which I need. It's talking about that which I can do something with, regardless of whether or not it's 20 or 5. You know, it's still money. So I just think that at this point in time, one of the real catalysts to listening is, how can I make money and keep it? How can I make money, keep it, and have it put to use? I think those things will go hand in hand. Just present it. That's all. Just language. That's all. That's it.
That sounds like an additional tool. Yeah, definitely that. I mean, I think it's because see, when I talk with the elementary children, I don't talk about money, because they be trying to get rid of money because they don't want to be looked upon to have to spend money to get what they want, because they got somebody that'll suffice their wants at that level, so they don't even want to think about money because, you know, it's irrelevant to them. But as we get into the middle school and the high school ages, then we start talking about those. So there's a time release capsule for all of these methods, and I guess that's what it's important for to be imparted you know, having a background experience as you do with youth and the juvenile system and our youth and the at-risk community, is that we be able to issue information appropriate to the age level and the groups that we're dealing with. And that's a learned behavior.
I don't disagree with you. I believe that the elementary level is not a place to begin to talk even basic economics, but it is at that junior, late junior high school, because again, that is the most the attraction. How can I get what I need so I can get what I want? And again, that's a worthwhile tool, because all of us need money to survive in this country, no matter what age. So again,
So we're wound down to a matter of seconds, and we once again want to share our condolences to the Jacobs family on the air, so that profile that this family is a family that has practiced some very valuable things of unity and contribution to and support to each other. That we've been known, that's how we get to know them, is that they, when they see it as a challenge with a family member, they seek intervention, and that's how we got to know them. So we want to close by saying that we're expressing our condolences to the loss of that family. And then moreover, I want to thank the contributors to the dialogue, and hope that you guys will be in tomorrow. And we're getting to be better every day at what we're doing. We have some shortcomings and some challenges, but our hearts are where they should be. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, your viewers, I keep saying viewer, listening audience, and thank you, contributors, for making this show what it tends to be. And that's enlightenment.
Yeah,
have a good day.